We've reached the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray that God the Father would give us this day our daily bread. Later in the same chapter, Matthew 6, our passage this morning, the Lord Jesus shows us why it is appropriate for us Christian people to make such a simple prayer to God. A prayer for our material needs, for our physical lives. Our Heavenly Father gladly and faithfully provides for His beloved children. With sufficient food and clothing, He cares for us. Notice the sermon title this morning, friends, Praying for Our Material Needs. We consider that fourth petition then in the Lord's Prayer. So let's turn to that passage now. Matthew 6, we start reading here at verse 19. Matthew 6, 19, this is the holy and living word of God. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O, you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word of God from Matthew 6. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes those simplest things from the mouth of Jesus turn out to be among the more profound things that he teaches, the most challenging words that he brings to us. On the surface, this fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread, seems very simple, right? Just a straightforward request that God would feed us today. But think about it, brothers and sisters. Why would we need to pray to receive our daily food? I mean, if you were extremely poor, and you had no idea where your next meal was going to come from, such a prayer would make a lot of sense. But most of us probably have plenty of food at home today, and that is very likely the case every day. You might thank God each day of your lives for the food and drink he provides, and indeed you should. But do any of you, really do any of you, pray on a regular basis that God your Father would give you your daily bread? I dare say probably very few of us ever actually pray for that. See, friends, the truth is we North Americans live in a very prosperous land where we have an abundance of food at our fingertips. But we also are a very proud, self-sufficient people who cannot imagine what it really means to depend on God our Father for our daily bread, for our most basic physical necessities. We have trouble imagining what that sort of dependence on God looks like and feels like. And we are an extremely materialistic people as well. A people who would hardly be content, let's face it, with daily bread. Brings me to my first point this morning, friends. Jesus gives us a prayer for daily bread that must challenge our proud self-sufficiency and materialism. My first point this morning. Jesus gives us a prayer for daily bread that must challenge our proud self-sufficiency and our materialism. Do you feel the challenge? Our Lord challenges our proud self-sufficiency by teaching, commanding us to pray for with this humble trust in God. He challenges our greed and materialism by teaching us to pray for very modest provision for our bodies. You may not immediately feel that challenge by that one verse in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Verses later, just a few verses later, in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, you have to feel that challenge against our self-sufficiency and our materialism. Because Jesus tells us here that there is no true love and service of God if we love money. You find later in Matthew 6, the passage we just read a moment ago, this sharp teaching against materialism, against the love of money and all those nice things that our money can buy. Jesus calls us to forsake that vain pursuit of earthly treasure. It's all going to pass away. Instead, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. They're the only sort that last. Maybe you'd like to think you can have both. Maybe you'd like to think you really can pursue both. Indeed, there is a sense in which you can have both, and many of us do. But Jesus is making the point that you can't be devoted to both. You may not serve God and money. The Gentiles, Jesus means godless unbelievers, right? He's talking to a Jewish audience. When he's talking about Gentiles, he means all those godless unbelieving people out there who do not know God, the Gentiles, they're devoted to earthly treasure. Be they rich or poor, they are anxious about food and clothing. This materialistic frame of mind must not characterize you children of God. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You know it is, right? If you're a child of God, you've come to realize that there are spiritual things of far greater importance than food and clothing. Oh, things such as serving God's name and His kingdom and His holy will. And that spiritual insight, friends, should free us from worrying about all of our material needs. So Jesus says in verse 33, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things, your material necessities, the things you need for physical life, all these other things will be added to you. He's not saying these things will automatically come to you, but that you can trust your Heavenly Father to provide for your material needs so that you will then be free to concern yourselves especially with spiritual things. God faithfully feeds the birds of the air. He gloriously clothes the grass of the field with all those beautiful flowers. Jesus says, if God the Father shows such remarkable care for these little insignificant creatures, How much more care must your God and Father have for the physical lives of you, his beloved children? Jesus gave a mild rebuke to his disciples here in Matthew 6. He said, "You have little faith." I'm afraid, dear friends, that we also deserve such a rebuke. Especially since we have learned as disciples of Christ today, we know that God the Father loved us so much that he sent his own Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, so that we would not perish but have eternal life. Listen, beloved in the Lord, if you have received that redeeming love of God in Christ Jesus, love that has made you a child of God for everlasting life in his kingdom, if you've received that kind of love from your heavenly Father, you have no reason to worry about your material needs. You have every reason to trust your heavenly Father to supply you with all you need for your physical life in this world, so that you can indeed be free to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what our passage is all about, trusting God to provide for our physical needs so that we can concern ourselves especially with spiritual things. And again, in the Lord's Prayer, this is how Jesus teaches us to order our priorities. In our prayers, we are to make simple requests for our material needs so that we may devote more concern to spiritual things. Jesus is not saying that we are to be concerned only with spiritual things. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. That would be a foolish denial of the sort of creatures we are, right? The sort of creatures that God made us to be. We're spiritual, but we are also physical beings. We have concern for our physical bodies. We have real physical needs. And so we are to pray about those physical needs. Jesus makes that clear, but it is the fourth petition, following the first, second, and third, which are so clearly focused on God and his things, spiritual matters in the first place. Indeed, we must pray about material needs, but what a simple prayer it is. Instead of worrying about the food we will eat, the clothes we will wear, we are to trust God to feed us and to clothe us, and we are to express that trust in our Heavenly Father by simply asking him to give us what we need each day for the body. Very simple and modest prayer indeed, isn't it? Give us the food that will be enough for today. Why does Jesus command us to pray such a thing? Friends, brings me to the second point today. Jesus commands us to pray about our material needs so that we will trust our Father to provide us with every good thing. Let me say it again, my second point. Jesus commands us to pray about our material needs so that we will trust our Father to provide us with every good thing, for body and soul. That's really what I'm getting at here. Our catechism explains the fourth petition like this. Answer number 125 in the Heidelberg Catechism. Listen, we say to God, give us this day our daily bread. 125 in the Catechism says this means this. Do take care of all our physical needs so that we may come to know that you, Heavenly Father, are the source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so, help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. The Catechism very wisely, I think, and biblically shows us that this petition is totally about our trusting in God. Here's the Lord's challenge to our proud self-sufficiency. He teaches us to pray for our daily bread so that we learn more deeply, you see, that God the Father is the great provider whom we must trust to give us all that we need. Now, on one level, you may know that God is the source of all good. You might even be able to quote James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. But see, Jesus wants us to experience this truth, because then we learn it more deeply, and as a result, our trust in God the Father deepens as well. Let me explain that just a little bit more here. This deeper realization of God's care for us does not happen merely by our receiving material blessings. Okay, you could say, well, that's how we experience His care, right? We just receive all these things we need for the body. We don't go hungry. That's a wonderful experience of God's provision, isn't it? Yes, but that's not what Jesus means. Rather, we are to gain this deeper realization of God the Father's care for us by our receiving material things in answer to prayer. It's true, God graciously provides food and clothing for millions of people who never ask Him for a single thing their whole lives. Jesus, however, commanded us to ask God the Father for these material things, even for our daily food, because the Father is pleased to glorify Himself by answering that prayer, supplying us with all that we need for the body. And then precisely because of that answer to prayer, we learn more deeply through experience that our Father is that great provider of every good gift. Give us today our daily bread is a prayer that requires trust in God. But as He answers that prayer and He provides for our material needs, this prayer then results in deeper trust in God. Not only for physical, but also for spiritual needs. And so, friends, what I'm trying to point out this morning is that, yes, this fourth petition is directly concerned with physical things, but it is ultimately about spiritual things, isn't it? Let me make that a little bit more clear still. You may recall the story in Matthew 9 or Mark 2. There are other versions of it, but these people bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. And what did Jesus immediately say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, right? The religious leaders get all upset because they know only God can forgive sins. But then Jesus healed the man's body, so that everyone there would instantly know that Jesus also had the authority and power to forgive this crippled man's sins. You see, friends, the gift of physical life served as a visible sign that the Lord Jesus had the ability also to provide for the man's invisible spiritual needs. Dear saints, if you will pray for God to provide for your material needs, you will see Him provide. You'll experience His provision more so. You will learn more deeply the truth that your Heavenly Father is the source of every good gift. And from those visible things, you see, from those visible blessings that He gives you for the life of your body, you will also more deeply learn to trust God to provide you with all that you need for your spiritual life as well. We really need to take this point about trusting our Heavenly Father one step further, because while we receive material necessities as an answer to prayer, we do not receive them through prayer alone, right? We also work that we may eat our daily bread. Jesus tells us to stop worrying about food and clothing, to trust God faithfully to provide for our physical lives in answer to prayer. But of course, praying and trusting God the Father does not mean we can just forget about working for a living. To the contrary, the Word of God tells us, you must work if you are to eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul says there, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Those who are able anyway must work. Otherwise, they should go hungry. That's what the Word of God tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3. Beloved of the Lord, we must pray for God to provide for all our material needs. But since He usually provides for our material needs in large measure through our working, we also must learn to pray for God's blessing upon our work. brings me to my third and last point this morning. We must also pray that God would strengthen us to work and would bless us in our use of material goods that we acquire. Again, we must also pray that God would strengthen us to work and that He would bless us in our use of the material goods that we acquire. The Heidelberg Catechism reminds us that God is the source of every good thing, but it also reminds us that our working for material things is going to do us no good apart from God's blessing. 125, explaining that fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," means this: Father, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know, here's the deeper experience of God's provision, we come to know that You are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry, nor even Your gifts, can do us any good without Your blessing. Yes, of course, we must work to earn some money. And then we must use that money to supply ourselves and others with material goods like food and clothing and shelter, so on. But you see, friends, all of this, the physical things, the good gifts themselves, but even our working to acquire them, all of it is owing to God's gracious blessing upon us and our work. Therefore, dear saints, we must pray that our Heavenly Father would strengthen us to work, that He'd give us jobs, and He'd equip us in all the ways that we need to be equipped to do that work well, to go on working, so that when we earn a living, as we say, we may humbly acknowledge that even our ability to work is a gift of God. Moses warned the Israelites as they were about to go into the Promised Land that they must not forget their God. We read it earlier in our reading of the law from Deuteronomy 8. Moses said they were about to go into this good land that God was giving them, and they would prosper in the land of Canaan, and they would enjoy many good things in the land. But Moses said, then, when you are filled with all these good things, and you're enjoying the good life in that land, you must not think in your pride that you got all of these things by your own strength. Again, Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, Moses says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember that Yahweh, your God, He gives you power to get wealth. My friends, pray that your Heavenly Father would give you work. Pray that He would strengthen you to do that work, to earn a living. By doing so, you will remember with all humility and with thankfulness that it is your God who graciously gives you the power to do all these things. And of course, we should also pray that God would graciously bless us with the ability to keep and enjoy the things that we obtain through our working. Remember that story in Genesis 32? Jacob had acquired a great deal of wealth while he was working for his uncle Laban. But as he drew near to the land of Seir, Jacob learned that 400 men were on their way with his brother Esau, who still must have wanted Jacob dead. Well, Jacob realized he could lose everything if Esau attacked. So he divided his camp in two, hoping to spare one camp if Esau attacked the other, right? Remember the story? Genesis 32. But Jacob knew that his craftiness was not enough. So what did he do? He prayed. He prayed that he might keep those blessings that God had given him and his family. He might spare their lives, keep them alive, deliver them from Esau. Listen to just that brief passage in Genesis 32. Verse 9, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant, to me. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. Jacob had worked for so long, had gained so many material goods, but it would all be for nothing if his brother Esau came and slaughtered everyone. Jacob knew that apart from God's blessing, the blessing of protection, he could lose everything. We need to do the work God has called us to do, friends, and we must pray that God would strengthen us to do that work. But for the security of our lives and for the security of our homes and of our loved ones and for the security of our material things, we must never rely especially upon our scheming, never rely especially upon all of our planning, upon our banking and investments, never rely especially upon the government or our guns or any created thing. It is especially God our Father who can protect us, our loved ones, all of our things from calamity, from injury, from theft. So let us be sure to pray that he would bless us not only with the strength to work, but also with the ability to keep and enjoy the good things that he supplies to us. That brings us to one last aspect of praying about our work and the things we acquire by working. This prayer must teach us to live more simply, more modestly, with fewer things, to put a finer point on it, and to practice more charity. So many professing Christians have conformed to the materialism of our culture so that our real goal in doing our work is to make as much money as possible and to enjoy as many material things as we possibly can. Seems like a lot of us Christians are just not convinced of the truth of Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of the world. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Remember our Lord's teaching in Matthew 6. We read it earlier. The love of money, it is the root of many evils, but Jesus makes it very clear. It is itself a great evil. It is that idolatry which makes loving God impossible. That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. It's that realization, brothers and sisters, that leads the wise man or the wise woman of God to make this their prayer. From Proverbs 30. Verses 8 and 9, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Forget God, as Moses warned the Israelites about in Deuteronomy 8. Or lest I be poor and steal. Go steal my neighbor's things and thereby profane the name of my God. What a great prayer for us to use with God, isn't it? Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Father, provide me with precisely that amount that will enable me best to serve you and my neighbors. Dear saints, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread in order to challenge our greed and materialism. And I can assure you of this, if you would bring to God such a modest petition for your material needs, you will find yourself often repenting of the greed in your hearts. And you will learn to be more content with fewer material things. In fact, this really should be our prayer, that God our Father would not only supply us with a sufficient portion of material goods, but also teach us to be content with fewer things. And thereby, make us more ready and willing to use our material things to do good to others, to show real charity and mercy to our neighbors in need. Brothers and sisters, our Father in heaven will answer that prayer. But of course, he will work in us more contentment, more gratitude, more generosity, especially by the means of his gospel. where he continually enriches us, his children, with the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ, who was so very rich, yet became so very poor for us and for our salvation. Therefore, as often as we do pray for our daily bread, let us remember to pray that God would also give us his word, that he would feed us with Christ, the bread of heaven, who nourishes our souls unto everlasting life. For man indeed does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of our God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.